You know, enjoying and creating conflict does seem to be an integral part of the human soul. When we closely read Isaiah, peace and goodwill go together, but they rarely manage to survive the partnership. Jesus Christ's birth proclaimed the dawning of a new era, yet peace and goodwill continues to elude the world. The message of goodwill and peace on earth is thrown out the window, while momentary satisfaction of anger gets the upper hand. The Bible verse, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath," is often quoted, but rarely applied. The birth of Jesus Christ must govern our lives, not just today, but on December 26th as well. Jesus Christ came to give us hope with peace, not to mention eternal life. To strengthen our faith requires a commitment to rely upon God, not some external divisive attitude which makes us self-important or obnoxious. Faith will provide the necessary antidote to withstand the onslaught of negative human ambition, even sin. Our faith, if developed correctly with God's assistance, will evolve into peace and goodwill, but also an inward tranquility which shall extend to all people that we encounter. But I'm saying this as a verifiable witness. It's hard to be a peacemaker, very difficult. Even the Presbyterians have Presbyterians for Peace, but you know what? It's not easy. You can get black eyes from both sides, can't you? And I was thinking, trying to maintain that peace and trying to live as if you want peace, it keeps you on nerve pills, doesn't it? But we know who is in control of all things because God did send His only begotten Son to earth. Reverend Godfrey Meadows was a Protestant Episcopal Church missionary in China. He was a very respected educator, a genteel, congenial, and cultured person who witnessed a tumultuous civil war in China in 1949. Meadows was a professor of Bible and a librarian at a mission school in southern China. He and his wife had two daughters, and they had just recently moved back to the United States to attend school. Most people are unaware, and as a missionary myself, we must remain non-political and never take sides to preserve our presence. However, human needs sometimes require decisions which call for flexibility to this neutral mission policy. Communist forces were defeating the nationalist Chinese left and right in China, and where Reverend Meadows' mission was located was no exception. It was going on all over around there. And so thousands of fleeing soldiers were coming through the area and attempting to escape to the island of Formosa, now called Taiwan. And Reverend Meadows and several women missionaries composed the skeleton summer staff because all the other missionaries had gone on furlough. They'd gone on a little trip, and they were not going to be back till the autumn term would start. And so suddenly a contingent of frightened anti-communist soldiers came to his mission, and they sought to get in because their lives were threatened. But the missionaries, of course, were apprehensive about that because they know if word got out to the communists that they could really have some problems there. But you know something happened. Compassion ruled the day. The young men who were trying to escape and needed a place to hide were granted sanctuary. All they had to do was wait on the ship that was coming to pick them up at a nearby port, which was practically right across the street from the mission. So we have an interesting situation had developed here. Reverend Meadows had never even been involved in any sort of intrigue, plotting, and schemes. You know, it sounds idealistic and romantic, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if I would have had the nerve to have done what he did. He took it upon himself to let those soldiers come into the mission there. And In fact, he was reminded that there under the library building was a hatch, a hatchway to a little, not quite a tunnel, but it was something similar. And he thought, well, that leads out to the beach. So he took those soldiers down to the through that cellar, if you want to call it that, and led them out to the beach. But while they were in the cellar, they wanted to get rid of those uniforms, because if the communists had caught them, they would have gunned them down immediately. And so, guess what? They literally ran to the beach, to the ship, in their birthday suits. The ship had arrived, and so it was an interesting setup there for them. They got on board, and they were delivered from execution. Reverend and Mrs. Meadows moved on to Hong Kong in 1951 and reestablished the mission school there because the communists eventually shut them down. And believe it or not, he had several of those ex-soldiers coming to him seeking admission to his to the college there. And he was delighted to see them again. And by the way, they were wearing clothes this time. And Reverend and Mrs. Meadows soon retired to Southern California. And I've got a little boomerang to throw in here. You know I always do in these little historical tidbits of mine. They moved to be near their daughters. Their daughters had become movie and television stars in Hollywood. And some of you, if you've been around long enough, may recall Audrey and Jane Meadows. And Audrey was in The Honeymooners with Jackie Gleason. And they were well known a generation or two ago. But God said that we can have peace and have it more abundantly if we will only trust Him. Afraid of what? God won't let us down. He certainly won't. Just listen closely at what God did for us. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that they should be delivered, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let us pray. Lord, on this special night, we are reminded of that birth 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. We are reminded that all this was done for us. And we give thanks to you, O Lord, for doing it. We praise you, O God, and we now seek you, O Lord, in our lives and look forward to the day coming that we will all be together in heaven. This we pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.